Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, our discussion features Tysel Phillips, MD. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Phillips discussed updated efficacy and safety data from the Phase 2 EPCORE NHL-1 trial investigating epcoritamab monotherapy in patients with relapsed refractory large B-cell lymphoma. He noted that the data, which were presented at the 2025 ASH Annual Meeting, showed that several patients remained in response beyond 4 years and that no new major safety signals were reported. Overall, he highlighted that the trial findings continue to support the use of epcoritamab as a third-line potentially curative option for patients with LBCL. He also spotlighted the promise of synergistic polatuzumab-vedotin-based combinations in the management of non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Speaking about the long-term follow-up results from NHL-1 that were presented at ASH this year, can you just briefly discuss the rationale and design of the EPCORE NHL-1 trial?
So the EPCORE NHL-1 study was the original legacy study just evaluating the safety and preliminary efficacy of epcoritamab in patients with large cell lymphoma. The initial study enrolled patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma and follicular lymphoma initially. This study was started actually prior and overlapping the pandemic. So the study looked at trying to establish a safe dose for epcoritamab initially. So this is where we came up with the step-up dosing. So for the initial study for the DLBCL cohort, it did step-up dosing of 0.16 on cycle 1, day 1, 0.8 on cycle 1, day 8, and then 48 milligrams on cycle 1, day 15 moving forward. It was weekly from cycles 1 through 4, every other week from cycles 4 through 9, and then monthly from cycles 10 beyond. So from this initial study led to the initial approval of epcoritamab in patients with large cell lymphoma. Secondarily, we got approval of it in follicular lymphoma, but with follicular lymphoma, they did add a third step-up dose of 20 milligrams into this patient cohort. So from the initial study, we saw that the overall response rate for all patients was around 39%. The complete response rate was around 39 to 40%, which is very similar to what we saw with the alternative bispecific antibody, which is glofitamab. And so obviously with large cell lymphoma, the greatest durations of response are typically those who get a complete response. So mainly focusing on 40% of patients of the original 157 patients enrolled in the study to try to determine long-term responses has been with the subsequent sort of updates we've had with this study over the last couple of years.
And so then that being said, what were some of the updated findings that were recently presented at ASH?
Yeah, so with the updating findings, they basically looked at a couple of things. They looked at patients in complete response beyond 4 years to try to see how many patients are approaching that sort of magical cutoff of 5 years, which we typically would expect to indicate cure in patients with large cell lymphoma. So with the most recent publication, the duration of complete response, if we looked across the board, was around 37.7 months. There are some semantics of how they broke apart the distribution of patients with large cell lymphoma based on sort of EU sort of descriptions, what we do here in the United States. And also just sort of teasing out some of the patients with transformed large cell lymphoma. So 42% of the patients in a complete response were still ongoing, with the longest patient in a complete response at 54.5 months. So very close to the 60-month mark. They also found that only about 7 patients with a complete response had progressed after the first year. So there were 5 patients in years 1 to 2 and 2 patients in years 2 to 3. So the key takeaway from this, obviously, is that there's some durability to the complete responses. And again, as I mentioned, the hope is that this will somehow indicate a cure in this patient population, which we'll need further data to get true clarification on.
And so then, are there any new safety signals to note or anything just with the epcoritamab safety profile that you'd like to point out here?
Yeah. Thankfully, there was no new major safety signals. So we did have some discontinuations on treatments. One was only due to infection. It was a grade 2 bronchitis. The other 4 was basically results for the patient and physician. Taking into account, remember, epcoritamab is a treat to progression or intolerance. So again, that indicates at least the patients are stopping. It's stopping not based on adverse events, but maybe patients are just I guess, at the point where they want to take a break from the treatment. Again, most patients have not had any new adverse events since the data cutoff from May 2025. So overall, there were 4 new infections, one urosepsis, 1 UTI, a pneumonia, and a COVID event, which obviously the virus is still around. And so again, overall, it still suggests that there is safety despite the long-term treatment with epcoritamab in this patient population. And again, suggesting again long-term durability of response with this treatment in some avenues, a very difficult to treat patient population.
Is there anything else that you want to add about what these updated data might do to support or change the role of epcoritamab here?
No, I think it just supports the fact that again, there could be another curative option in the third line space. I think in addition to what we previously had known with CAR-T, given that CAR-T has moved mostly to second line large cell lymphoma, having another sort of replacement option in third line setting, hopefully it will allow us to continue to cure more patients and until we ultimately can get to the point where we don't have any patients, unfortunately, that will succumb to this disease.
Have there been any other updates in the relapsed refractory NHL treatment paradigm that you would like to highlight?
Yeah, so there was more information that came out with a combination of polatuzumab with mosunetuzumab and glofitamab. So ideally, both of those have shown that there is some synergistic potential with an antibody-drug conjugate and a bispecific. So I would anticipate that we'll have more of these combinations being explored in the future as we move forward, as we have more antibody-drug conjugates being tested in earlier line and later lines of therapy. And there are obviously more bispecifics coming along. So along that vein, we did have data from LOTIS-7 that looked at the combination of loncastuximab and glofitamab. And the data from that suggests that there was quite a bit of synergy between the two molecules. And thus far, probably looks the most impressive, the antibody-drug conjugate bispecific combinations. We'll need to get more further follow-up about the durability of response and some additional information about the safety of that combination. But it appears to be a very promising sort of avenue moving forward for these relapsed refractory patients with these combinations.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.